Now, voters in Wisconsin chose a new leader for the state's education system for the next 4 years. In Tuesday's election, Pecatonica School Superintendent Jill Underle defeated her counterpart from Brown Deer, Deb Kerr, 58-42%. Current State Superintendent Carolyn Stanford Taylor did not seek election. Underle will take over in July. She says her top priority will be reopening schools for in-person learning. It's also a budget year for Wisconsin. There are disagreements about school funding, private voucher schools, and other issues. We'll talk more in depth about some of those items in just a bit. First, we'll chat with Superintendent of Public Instruction-elect Jill Underle. Superintendent-elect Underle, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob. I'm happy to be here.
Well, you are taking up this gig in the summer, and you say a top priority is getting kids, students, staff back into schools full time. What challenges do you see remaining at the end of the summer moving into a new school year?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of challenges. I mean, we've seen a lot of inequity. Before the pandemic, when you look at access to technology, for example, but also just making sure that our schools have the funding that they need. They've assumed a lot of expenses, trying to keep our schools open safely. So making sure that we do have enough funding so that we can continue operations during normal times, but as well as these extraordinary times as well.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he doesn't support giving more money to the Department of Public Instruction because you're heavily backed by Democrats and teachers unions. He tweeted after your election win, I'm quoting here, the teachers union owns the DPI, not the parents or the students or the taxpayers. What would your message be to Speaker Voss and other Republicans in the Republican-controlled legegislature?
I think, my first thought is I'm not in favor of giving any money to the DPI necessarily either. I want the money to go to our schools. The public schools need the funding. And like I said earlier, it's just before the pandemic, there were so many inequities. And we need the funding to address those. But even as we go through this pandemic and as we come out on the other side of it, our kids and our schools are hurting, and we certainly need to be making sure that they're getting the funding that they need so that we can be providing, a high quality education to every kid. So I want him to know, and I want everybody in, Republican and Democrat alike, I want to work, I want to work together. I want to do this for Wisconsin's kids, and that's always been the intention.
Private voucher schools have been a big back and forth issue in elections and in budgets over the years. Where do you see that that issue fitting in this budget year?
Yeah, I think it has to be on the table because, school choice is it's quite a lot of money. And when we look at the long-term impacts, we know that based on the number of referendums, for example, that our public schools have to go to, they're certainly not getting enough financial resources. So that being said, we can't expand vouchers when we're asking our public schools to do more with less funding. So I think that has to be the conversation, what we're going to do, what's the long-term goal? Because from what I can tell, we can't afford two systems of schooling here in Wisconsin.
Now we've got some relief cash coming from the federal government here in Wisconsin that may or may not be allocated by the time you show up for work when your job officially begins. But what are your hopes for what could be done with that money to help districts around the state?
Yeah, I certainly hope that it'll be used to help upgrade our facilities so that our schools can be open safely. I hope it can also, look for technology and broadband. I mean, throughout the state, we are so far behind when you look at our neighbors and our counterparts. We really need to do something about wireless and broadband, not just access, but affordability. These are things that are, part of our library systems as well as our public school systems. They enhance our life. And so I hope that because it is a one-time infusion, that we could use it for these things that, are infrastructure-based.
We've had in the past this idea of the two-thirds funding commitment from the state. This gets a little budget wonky, but this idea that from the state's budget, that's going to fund two-thirds of districts, that has drifted, more reliance on property taxes. I know the governor has set that as a goal to return to that. How important do you think that is?
I think it's very important. When you look at two-thirds, it's of a two-thirds of a school district's budget, and not I think when you said two-thirds of districts, it's not that. It's, you know, when
right,
you look
right.
at
two-thirds of
our, in, yeah, when you look at each of our school districts, you know, it would be two-thirds of their budget
right.
would come from the state. And that's what we really need because, like I said earlier with the, you know, with the referendums, something's got to give. And our communities are continually voting yes, which, you know, I'm, you know, certainly grateful for, that they are willing to raise their own property taxes, but there's only so much, I think, that's sustainable in that regard. So the state has to step up as far as its promise to public education.
Before I let you go, Superintendent-elect Underly, you know, there's a lot of heated issues with schools in Wisconsin over the last few years, whether we're talking about funding or public versus voucher versus charter or open schools or closed schools during COVID. Do you have hopes of dialing down some of the temperature and getting everybody at the table and finding solutions that work, not just sort of the partisan talking points?
You know, Rob, that's certainly my goal. I want everybody to work together. I think we all want the same things. We want what's best for kids. We want what's best for our communities. We all want, you know, high quality education. It brings, you know, high quality public schools bring, you know, companies. They bring, you know, they bring employers who and employees who then have kids that they want to go to our public schools, and they make our community stronger. It makes our state and our economy stronger. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we have to realize. This is for our kids and this is for our future. And I hope we can all agree on that. And I certainly want to make sure everybody's around the table so they have input on that.
Superintendent-elect Underly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob. Anytime.
That's Jill Underly, Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction-elect. She defeated Deb Kerr in this week's election and will begin serving in July. We'll continue our conversation about schools in Wisconsin, and you could join in with your thoughts on the state of Wisconsin education at 800-642-1234. What issue is important to you and why? Is it time to fully return to in-person learning now, or are you hopeful for the fall? Are you nervous about taking the step right now? If you are a parent, a teacher, a student yourself, what kind of things do you want to see happen? What are you hoping to see from the newly elected Jill Underly in her role as state superintendent? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Julie Underwood joins us now, Emerita Education and Law Professor at UW-Madison. Julie, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks.
Now, you had backed Jill Underly in her race for superintendent. Can you talk about what you're hoping to see from her as she takes up this role in the summer?
I think Jill is a really strong voice for public education. She's a public school advocate, and she's been in public schools in the state of Wisconsin in all sorts of roles. She's superintendent now in Pecatonica, as you introduced her. And she's led that community through the pandemic. I think that's the kind of leadership we need. And she, you know, she is willing to get along with and listen to everybody.
Can you talk now about the role of the head of the DPI? It's this elected position statewide, elected in Wisconsin. It's not like the boss of all schools, though, because they're run by their local districts. It's a department, you know, its budget depends on what happens in the legislature and the governor. Can you just talk about this job and what it does?
I'd be glad to. It is definitely not the boss of all the schools. That's for sure. But the Department of Public Instruction actually is a great hub for educational resources in the state of Wisconsin. It is the advocate at the legislature and in public government, you know, in state government, for education in the state. It deals with teacher certification rules and those kind of processes that we do. And it also has a strong role in special education in the state.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Conrad with us in Platteville. Conrad, hi.
Hi. I have two issues. One, I think we spend more than any other country on education, and yet we rank about 25th in reading, writing, math, and science. And I think it's safe to open the schools. Kids, according to the CDC, kids 0 to 14, almost twice as many more kids die of stroke than COVID. And there's never been a documented case of a child or student doing it to a teacher. So I think we should get the schools back in working order.
Conrad, Conrad, thanks a lot for calling in. And Conrad expresses, I think, a common concern, Julie, about schools in Wisconsin and the United States, worries that we don't get the outcomes we would want from the money we put into it. Can you talk about how we measure that and how you think we shape up?
Well, we measure that in various ways. We measure that in national and global kind of testing, testing students on basic skills at different grade levels. But in the United States, we've got a couple different things that really, really are masked in terms of our international comparisons. One is that we're a very large kind of a community. We've got 50 states, and in the United States, we've got 50 separate education systems, and they're all run in kind of different ways. Plus, we educate all kids in the state of Wisconsin and in the United States, and in many states, public schools don't educate all children. We educate children who have special needs. We educate children with emotional needs. We educate rich children, poor children, across the board, and that's not true everywhere. And our system is very diverse. If you look at some systems that do quite well, you have countries that are relatively small and relatively similar in terms of diversity. They would be considered as middle class communities here in the United States. And yes, they do better on that kind of testing. But in the United States, we do well in lots of ways in terms of making sure that all children are taken care of by public schools. And we offer a really diverse, a diverse curriculum, too, which doesn't happen in many countries.
And Conrad also brought up a big issue over the last year, really, how, when, whether to open schools. Conrad saying, and agree with many people, younger kids in particular, it should be safe, and a lot of districts moving more and more in that direction. What are your thoughts on that, Julie?
Well, Jill said this at the top of the hour when she talked about it, the need for opening schools. And I think everybody agrees that we need to open schools. Kids learn better when they're in physical contact, when they're with their peers, when they're with their teachers. We know this. And it's not like public schools want to keep children away from each other. But when it's safe, then we should reopen schools. And in the state of Wisconsin, it is a local decision, just like that's why DPI is not the boss of everybody. These are local school districts. They're run by local boards. And so it's a local decision working with county health agencies to see whether it's safe for the public schools to be open in a particular community. Most schools are opening and planning to be more open as the rest of this year goes on. But we want to do it in a safe way.
Thanks again for the call, Conrad. We're talking about the state of public schools in Wisconsin with Julie Underwood, former dean of the UW-Madison School of Education, also professor of law. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What is the biggest thing on your mind when it comes to K-12 education here in the state? Do you want to see schools open now as quickly as possible? Maybe more of a hybrid approach of in-person virtual learning? Are there lessons we could take for the pandemic for future education? What other issues are on your mind with when it comes to education? And if you are a parent, a teacher, a student, a staff member, what do you want to see going on? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation on some of the issues facing public schools in the state. Jill Underle defeated Deb Kerr in this week's election for state superintendent of public instruction. She joined us a little while ago. She said her top priority is reopening schools for in-person learning. Julie Underwood is with us now, emerita education and law professor at UW-Madison. You can join in with your thoughts and questions about our school system in Wisconsin at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Colin is with us in Wausau. Colin, hi.
Hi, thanks for letting me call in, and thanks for the topic. On Tuesday's election, every referendum for public schools failed. and I work at a school. We've been open 5 days a week since September, and our referendum failed, and it was for operating costs. What are people going to do to help communities start putting more into public schools, or what can we do? We've already done 5 days a week to alleviate daycare costs or to alleviate other things, and yet our referendum still fails for operating, not even for new structure. So what is elected officials, what are people going to do in Wisconsin to help public schools when our referendums can't pass?
Thanks for the call. I am looking at the DPI website. It looks like at least some referenda around the state did pass. Julie, I'm not sure the overall mix. I don't have that in front of me. But answering our caller's question, what do you think, especially for those districts that weren't able to pass referenda?
Well, I thank the caller for the call and for the interest in local public schools and making sure that everybody can support the education that they want for their children. You know, we go to referendum. The state has a requirement that we have to go to referendum if we want to increase the per pupil spending in our district. But I'm sorry that your referendum failed. That really is heartbreaking. Absolutely. I think this time around there were over 180 referenda across the state of Wisconsin. About 75% of them did pass. Some were for operating, and some of them were for building. The operating referenda are just allowing schools to spend more money. But then there were capital referendum too for building. So what do we do when they don't pass? We have small schools across the state of Wisconsin, school districts across the state of Wisconsin that have had a number of referenda pass in multiple attempts. In that situation, we're looking at a possibility that the school district will fail, that the school district will have to merge into another school district, or that school district has to ask the Department of Public Instruction for some kind of solution. It's not a good thing when your referenda fail. Schools don't want to close. Communities don't want to lose their school districts. It's the heart of their community, particularly in rural areas.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Julie Underwood, Emerita Education and Law Professor at UW-Madison, about big issues facing Wisconsin's educational system. Let's bring another caller on now. Sue is with us in Hurley. Sue, hello.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Sue?
I had two questions. Well, first of all, I'm a Wisconsin State educator for the past 19 years. And with this past year teaching with COVID, and also with the general overall disrespect for the profession, I'm wondering if there is a planning of potential teacher shortage for the state of Wisconsin and how that could be handled or might be handled.
Sue, thanks for the call. Julie, concerns about a teacher shortage.
Sue, thanks for the call, and let me thank you for your service to public schools and to the state of Wisconsin for being a public school educator. Yes, I think we are going to be looking at a teacher shortage. The capacity kind of waxes and wanes over the years. We saw a teacher shortage occur right after Act 10 went through, when we had massive retirements across the state. And we had a number of teacher education programs who didn't have very many candidates because people didn't want to go into the profession. We're going to have to work really hard at increasing the profile of the profession and getting more people interested in being an educator at any level. And I know that the Department of Public Instruction is looking at some flexibility in licensing, trying to get that done. We've learned some things by going to hybrid in many places, where we can make teachers' jobs different and tailor them in different ways. That might encourage people to come, or we might be able to get some flexibilities in hiring.
Sue, thanks a lot for the call. Julie, I want to take our last minute or so to talk about special education. I know that's an issue you're watching in Wisconsin. What kind of things do you have your eye on?
Well, I'm have my eye on the governor's proposed budget and the budget that the Department of Public Instruction has put forward. And there are lots of good things in that budget. But one of them that is really good in my mind is the proposed increase in funding, or the proposed increase in state commitment for special education. Right now, we reimburse local school districts at 28 cents on the dollar for their spending for special education. And the proposal would increase that reimbursement rate to 45%, which is absolutely significant. It would allow schools to not have to dig into their general fund to make programs appropriate for children with special needs, which we all want to do. But when we don't have the funding, schools are left in the position where they have to cut programs that serve all children to make sure that they fulfill the responsibilities to educate special education students. So this proposed increase in special education funding is huge for local districts across the state.
We'll leave it there for now. Julie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Julie Underwood, Emerita Education Law Professor at UW-Madison. We talked to her about the state of schools in Wisconsin and some of the issues State Superintendent-elect Jill Underly will have to navigate. We also talked to Underly about her priorities for K-12 education.